afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Condo Insider that is put on with Hawaii Council of Community Associations. So today we're going to be talking about security guards. And joining me will be Spike Dennis, who is with Securitas. And we are going to be bringing him in about a few minutes. See you soon. Hi, Spike. Nice to see you again.
Hello, Raylene. Nice to see you again.
You're looking good.
Right.
So I have with me today Spike Dennis. He is the responsible principal guard and consultant with, he also does consulting. He is with Securitas. He is also the chairperson of the board of private detectives and guards. So he has been in the security guard business for quite a long time, or probably since he was a teenager, maybe even. But security guard licensing started in 2013 under Act 2008. So it requires that all guards, agents, operatives, assistants employed by a guard agency, even private business entities, or even government agency that act in a guard capacity shall apply to register with the board. And they have to meet certain requirements. So they also do pre-license education, continuing education, but the main points is they have to be 18 years and older, have to have a high school or equivalent education, no mental disorder type of conditions. They do have to submit to a criminal background check. So at the very start, they're going to do at least 8 hours of pre-license education and then 4 hours of continuing education every year. So every year they're going to renew their licensing, and they're going to go through the same criminal background checks as they did, and they pay their fees, and then they can go out into the workforce. So so let's start off with a couple of definitions, Spike. So what does it mean to act in a guard or guard capacity?
Okay, so acting in a guard capacity language was developed as part of that Act 208 that went into effect in 2013. So it means the performance of safekeeping, observation, and reporting functions. Safekeeping means protecting property, assets, or persons through physical presence to detect and deter illegal actions, inappropriate actions, violations of property or premises rules, or code of conduct. Physical presence means manning a post, or personing a post, I guess. The stationary guard includes, the law actually includes bouncers and patrolling of the premises, as well as physically responding to alarms, incident, emergencies on a property, and so forth. That's a basic definition.
That's quite interesting when I was reading this or looking at it. It's that even bouncers are considered guards.
Right. Because they essentially act in a guard capacity, right?
But if you're just an individual that's watching security cameras, you really don't need to be licensed as a guard.
Actually, you really do. That is one of the functions of a guard. Depending on the circumstances, let's say central station CCTV monitoring. Mm-hmm. Would not need to be licensed as guard. If they're in a condo working in the security command center or security office, they would need to be licensed as guard.
So if they're pretty much watching the cameras all day and they're working in a condo, technically they should be licensed?
Yeah, because they're guards. If being a guard is incidental to their other job functions and duties, it really should be decided on a case-by-case basis, looked at by management of the board or the board's attorney. They may not need to be licensed.
So in the courses, there's really here's always been the conversation going on between a lot of different people is the difference between a security guard that's in a residential condo type environment versus one that's in a commercial like your shopping malls and things of that nature. Is the rules or what they really do slightly a little bit different? Because you're dealing with two different types of properties.
Right. Two different types of premises. In general terms, yes. I mean, there is a difference. You're in a commercial setting or even mixed use that have condos and business. You're guarding not only commercial, but people's castles where they live, such as the case with condos. Commercials, you're guarding their workplaces. And there's different challenges. So the operating procedures that the guards follow are built differently. Businesses, commercial, are open to the public during business hours, but condominiums are not. So screening of visitors is done differently during business hours. And the risks are different.
So I noticed that you also, one of the positions in it, and I can imagine this would apply to both residential and commercial, is you're really protecting the property. You're there to protect the property, number one, whether it's residential, build condo building, or commercial, you're there to protect the property itself. And hopefully the little aspects of the business as well. And the people coming in and out, you know, you see an incident, you report it or do whatever the procedure is established. What about fire? They all trained in their classes about fire safety and stuff like that?
Yes. There's a basic training. It does include a fire component. And one of the biggest risks to facilities, whether they're commercial or residential, are fire and water damage. So typically, security guards, after their initial basic training, undergo additional training on each site, whether commercial or condo. And condos, you set a minimum number of hours. You're using standardized written operating procedures that the guards should be familiar with. They were shown that through their basic training. So typically, guards will train for experienced and floaters. They go to different sites. They don't need a whole lot of training. If they're relatively new or inexperienced at that site, they'll need to train somewhere between 16 and 40 hours initially.
And I'm sure part of it comes with experience, but do they get some training about how to write their incident reports or how to write their observation type of thing and how to report like little weird things that they've been noticing and they need to document? Are they educated or kind of give examples of how to clearly write a report?
Yes. They need to be able to write clearly and communicate to it. So yes, is the answer to that. And in today's environment, security guards on probably most sites now are equipped with devices, a security device is called Vision. So it is an electronic digital instrument that records their patrols, where they were at what time. It allows them to they enter information into fields for incident reports. Also, their hourly logs are in there, the photographs for incidents. And the devices also allow for analysis of incidents over a period of time. So that can assist in security planning, the where, the why, the who, and the what of incidents occurring on site can be analyzed. So.
Well, that's a really good point. So if a condo is looking to hire a security guard company, that's a good point to bring out, is like what kind of, what does a security guard bring to the table as far as what you just said, like incident reports and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because that's a plus to me.
It's a plus.
You
know? They're called guard management systems. And so, you know, again, it's patrol documentation, incident report, photos, logs, enables analysis. The client, you get you access the website in Securitas, get your own dashboard. So the client can just log in, see all the guard activity, review logs, incident reports, the photographs, all of
that. That's cool. That's really cool. So one of the other questions I get asked, or some people have kind of like talked to me about, is how there's like a guard code of ethics. You know, some people will say, well, you know, they're involved in something that they were off duty, they witnessed something, and they became involved, and the police were called. And how are they supposed to respond, or when they're outside of their employment capacity?
Okay, well, they would respond as a private citizen. I mean, many security guards are trained in CPR and first aid. I wouldn't say the majority, but most contracts, especially for commercial, require that the guards be trained in first aid. So, as citizens out and about, typically most security officers are responsive to emergency situations. They're not at that moment obviously employed. So as far as liability goes, they're on their own. But we have laws here that protect the private citizens for helping.
They have rules where they're off duty. They can't be in, they need to be like out of their uniform.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, going to and from work, it's common. Right. Security officers wear uniforms. We expect them to arrive at work dressed.
Once they're at their residential location, they should, you know. And I know they have a shirt. Usually, they have a shirt underneath. You know, right. I see some going 7-Eleven. The shirt's all open. You can tell that they're off duty, or you know, going home. I need to get a drink. Right. Right. It's not so much for the drive home. You know. Yeah. Okay, right. So off duty, they should be. It should not be in uniform when they're off the clock. And
that's a kind of a catch as catch can. I mean, if you've got to take a bus to your job site, there's no place to change. You're going to be there just before the start of your shift. It may be difficult to be ready to go.
Once they're home.
Oh, yeah,
they're capable of changing clothes, right? Yeah. Okay. And then there's been a lot of incidences that has been happening around about picture taking and being approached by security guards, you know, and an individual's taking pictures. And right. One of my questions, I go, where were you? Commercial or residential? And what were you photographing? You know, I go, there's a big difference of what you were photographing, you know, but if it's general, you know, general items, you're not focused on someone's lanai looking in or the swimming pool, you know, you're just taking general pictures of the building. Is there, like, I'm sure in commercial, it might be at like a no-no because of a commercial property, but in a residential, you know, you have realtors that need to take pictures of the property, or even the owner that wants, if they're doing it for sale by owner. I mean, what is the general rules about picture taking?
A lot of it would depend on the property and what the SOP is for that. But you know, if the person's a resident, you know, that obviously cuts one way. If it's somebody that's not authorized to be on the property, we want the security officer or the security guard to challenge the person to identify who they are and what they're
doing. Have a justifiable, pretty much a justifiable reason. If they're a resident of the building, I mean, it shouldn't be an issue. Considering that they're not taking inappropriate pictures, right? but I would think a commercial property might be a little bit more like, what are you taking pictures of? What for?
Right. Right? No, commercial property is definitely because of the threat to the facility, because of the types of businesses that are there may raise the risk level. So if it looks suspicious, this security officers should challenge the people in a commercial environment.
Okay. So if, if I were to hire a security guard on my property, my condo, I mean, they can help with house rule enforcement, like check the parking lot, making sure everybody's up to date with their stuff, you know, that's in accordance with the house rules. How much do you guys put on for them to enforce house rules?
Well, it depends on the property. And the board's philosophy, it's typical to have guards enforcing health rules, particularly when there could be hazards involved. Again, water, fire, barbecues, conduct, and health rules, you know, swimming pool, that sort of thing. But I mean, it's quite common.
Here's one big question. So you have a guard that's been on the property for a while, and it could be either commercial or it could be residential. So, you know, over time, they get to know everybody's coming and going, you know, familiar faces, things of that nature. And what if they start to notice some weird things that they really shouldn't be doing? You know, I mean, and it happens, even resident managers and resident, I mean, they get familiar and they kind of let it slide, but then it starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger. How do you guys handle those kind of situations where you need to, you know, sometimes there's that line drawn, like, okay, you stepped over the line. I let you go a little bit. Now you've stepped over that line. Now I got to write you up or trespass you or whatever the situation is going to occur. Are your guards trained in how to deal with those kind of situations?
Yeah, I mean, talking about the guards themselves, or as you say, resident managers being too familiar with this. Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes to each site has a site supervisor, and each shift should have somebody in charge if there's more than one guard. So, you know, conduct is really important. Being more familiar with, when we're talking about condo setting, same applies to commercial, though. So, yeah, we want to stop that, report it. Discipline as required, you know, verbal warning, written warning, depending on the how egregious the conduct is. But yeah, no, there's, I mean, we have, you know, code of ethics, and each site may have certain issues that are repeated due to the way that the site is configured or the type of activity.
One would be like, you know, you have people that scavenge the trash cans. You know? Yeah. And a one condo building, like, we don't like them doing that. I go, well, here's one thing to think about is, are they throwing the trash out as they're digging through it? I would have an issue with that. You know, I go, don't be making a mess that we have to clean up. You know, if you want to scavenge the trash can, but don't be making a mess for us, you know? And, you know, some people, you know, but, and then some condos are like, no, not at all. And I'm like, okay. But then you start to alienate these people, and then you create another can of worms, you know, by them retaliating because you kicked them off the property, you know? So yeah. It gets to be kind of, I always thought of it, it's kind of touchy, you know?
It needs to be handled with tact and professionalism, you know?
It's like a child, like when you're trying to, you know, tell your child, no, you can't do that anymore, you know? And then they take that inch, you're like, we told you, you know? And I said, you have to remember, you also don't want that retaliatory tactic, but you don't want to let it go to the other extreme. You let them take over. I think that's, is there a lot of training that you guys go into that?
Yes, there is a lot of training and dealing with essentially trespassers on the property. You know, it's become a very high risk area with some of the mentally ill, unhoused, who may be also on drugs. In the past 24 months, we've had a couple of security officers killed.
It's getting to be a scary world lately.
Yeah, both in commercial environments. So, yeah, it needs to be handled tactfully, safely. And there is specific training on how to conduct yourself in your deportment.
So there's threat training, I want to say, some sort of threat training. So in the 4-hour CEs, what do you guys normally do in the 4-hour CEs?
Okay. The 4-hour CEs are triennial now for re-registration. It used to be a biennial. That changed in, I think it was 2017. So there's a smorgasbord of subjects in there that underpins the basic 8 hours or adds additional knowledge. The next training cycle will be 2024 registration. I don't have the outlines in front of me, but typically it's five or six topics, including the 4 hours. But safety, aloha, you know, fire, a lot of repetition, but good underpinning.
Okay. All right, cool. Anything else you want to add in about security guards? Things to look for that board should look for in a quality security guard?
Yeah, you know, I mean, getting quality service, it's really about the quality of the person on site. Pay is very important. It's become highly competitive. You know, everybody's short of staff. So pay rates have risen dramatically for security personnel. And the clients are, by and large, almost all are willing to discuss that and share the burden of increasing wages, so we can attract good quality personnel. Other than the security officers themselves, is the supervision, say that field supervisors, and then your managerial staff. Securitas land, they're called district managers. These guys are experienced professional security professionals. They manage a couple hundred, 300 guards, and they have in assisting them, the scheduling managers and field supervisors. So you want the board, or at least the management, to be familiar with the district managers, if you're managing the security force that's on their property, and the person, the immediate personnel that report to that district manager. So good, so strong.
Is that district manager also familiar with the property that individual properties, and not memorize it, but kind of know general the likes and don't likes of the property?
Yes, definitely. And they actually write the written standard operating procedures. That takes a lot of collaboration with the client. They have to know, obviously, as much as the security guard knows about that property. So, I mean, that's really important, that those people are available and responsive to the board and the resident manager.
Okay. How many clients do you guys even have? I know you guys are in that big building off of Nimitz.
That's probably proprietary, but as far as personnel, around 1,600 guards now. Actually, more than near 2,000 again.
Wow, that's a lot. That's quite a bit of handful.
Yes. We've got some great, Michael Gall, our new area vice president, who came up through the ranks, former Army Ranger, really bright guy, knows electronics as well as the security guard business. So, and he's got great district managers working for us now.
So who does your actual presentations? Like if the board wanted you guys to come in to explain about Securitas, who would they call to make that arrangement?
I would have them call Michael Gall, who's the area vice president. Just call a direct line, and we'll route them to the right person. There's an individual named Clint Kurgan who does the proposals, and then the district managers will be handling that account, or Mike Gall personally will go and meet with that client, that potential client. So right off the bat, we'll be working with the team.
Hey, any words of wisdom for our condo boards about security?
Have a good contract. contract that consults your legal counsel. And then really vet your who's going to be on the security team. You know, you're interested in meeting the area vice president who's running the Hawaiian Islands and Guam, and as well as the district manager. Who would be assigned to that site. And most of the companies are set up, guard companies are set up similarly, same kind of management team.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're kind of nearing our end. So we're gonna close off here. So thank you, Spike, for joining me today. Look forward to collaborating with you in the future. And have a great week. Enjoy the weekend. This is Memorial, a long weekend coming up. I'm going to look forward to it. So everybody, thank you for joining us for Condo Insider. So if you're looking for security, make sure you review the video and start your journey. And also don't forget our other video that we already did a segment on security cameras. That was really good. That was a good segment on security cameras, the do's and don'ts, because they had some important tips. Okay. Thank you, Spike. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching ThinkTech Hawaii. If you like what we do, please like us and click the subscribe button on YouTube and the follow button on Vimeo. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and donate to us at thinktechhawaii.com. Mahalo.